Today is a day where we celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful life-giving power. We have survived, and we will survive, and we will do it because the Holy Spirit is with us. Sitting in church this morning, I kept thinking about what is the mind that we come to church with? Cu ce mentalitate, cu ce gând, with what mindset we come to church? Because, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I don't want to come back to business as usual. I don't want to come back to with the same mindset that we had 2-3 months ago. I think we should come with a new mindset. Because the challenges that are ahead for the world and for us, I think we just got a glimpse into that. But get ready and prepare yourselves for even bigger challenges ahead. And the mindset that you have is going to be very important to how you handle yourselves and how we handle ourselves during these challenges. My short 15-minute meditation today is on this, on the mindset of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in giving us a mindset of Christ. Philippians 2, 5, we're going to read from 5 to 11 for today's meditation. Have this mind among yourselves. Have this mind, this mindset, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this age. Conformed to this age. There's another translation that says to the patterns of this world. There is a pattern. There is a pattern of this world, and we should not be conformed to it. Do not be conformed, but rather be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect, and the perfect will of God. Whew, the perfect will of God. Whenever I read that, I just shake. It gives me goosebumps. The perfect will of God. If I only knew the perfect will of God, every day of my life, from morning till night, if I knew the perfect will of God, if I knew what God's will was for my life, if I knew what God's will was for my church, the perfect will of God. How do you get that? How do you tap into that? When my mom set us down to pray for the Holy Spirit, I was 13 years old. She put the fear of God in us to say that the Holy Spirit is what's going to help you raise up to go to heaven, you know, when the rapture comes. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? You're not going to be weightless. You need the Holy Spirit in order to be able to lift yourself up to go to heaven. But what spoke to me more important than that and deeper than that was the Holy Spirit is the voice of God in your life, in you. Let this mind be in you. You see, there are a lot of voices that speak to us. Don't think that you're so independent in your life. You have been brought up and raised with voices in your head. Okay, first it's the voice of your parents. You know, the voice of your mom and dad. It's that voice that wakes you up in the morning and says it's time to get up and go to school. It's the voice of the pastor, maybe, of the church that you attended. It's the voice of your teachers. As you get older, you have the voice of your peers, and they become even more louder in your life. Your friends, your colleagues, society, CNN, Fox, whatever news channel you watch, there are voices that are speaking into your head. There are voices that are speaking into your life. And those voices are shaping your worldview. Your worldview is the set of lenses with which you see the world. And the voices that are speaking to you are shaping the way you see the world and the way you see yourself. When you look in the mirror, it's not just how you think about yourself, but it's how other people are thinking about you. And you look in the mirror and you use that filter. Do people like me? Do people think I'm pretty enough? Am I good looking enough? Am I worthy enough? The voices that speak to you, there are voices all around. And they want you. They want you to conform to the pattern of this world. There's a pattern. Now, many people think that, you know, when you have the Holy Spirit, then you're no longer susceptible to sin, or there's some sort of magical bubble that comes around you that now you're protected from everything, and no virus can touch you, and you're immune to everything possible. That is not true. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're susceptible to the same spiritual attacks, maybe even more, because now you're more aware of all the spiritual attacks that are happening around you. You're not in a bubble. You're not immune. Cuvântul Domnului spune că cel neprihănit cade de șapte ori și se ridică. Right? You're not immune from that. But what the Holy Spirit helps you to see is the pattern of behavior that is happening in the world so that you don't conform to that. The way of thinking. Stop thinking like them. Stop dressing like them. Stop talking like them. Stop conforming. How many of us in this time have conformed? We're good, obedient conformists. And what we've done is turned ourselves and turned church and turned our families, nothing more than conformists, to the pattern of this world and to the age that we're living in. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not the plan, guys. I did not put the Holy Spirit on you so that you can conform to the ways of this world, to the rules of this world, so that you can follow, you can be good, obedient, rule-following Christians, so that you can be good bureaucrats that know how to manage budgets and know how to do good construction projects and know how to do nice, good church business and do nice programs. No way, guys. That is not what Jesus Christ put the Holy Spirit in us to do. He put the Holy Spirit in us to turn the world upside down. He put the Spirit of God in us so that we can raise the dead. He put the Spirit of God in us so that we can pray for the sick and the sick will be healed. He put the Spirit of God in us so that we don't conform to the thinking of this world and that we transform this world with the thinking of God. That's why he put the Spirit of God in us. What mindset are you coming back with? What mindset? What is your mindset today? Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I'm going to put a new spirit in you, says Jesus. I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to give you a new mind. I'm going to give you a brain transplant. I'm going to put my mind in you. My mind will be in you, says Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is in you, it is Christ's mind that is at work in you. Imagine that for a moment. If you were to think like Jesus, what would it be like to think like Jesus? I prayed a very naive prayer when I was 17 years old. I said, I want to see people the way you see them. I didn't know what that meant. I prayed, it was a very sincere prayer. I had just come back to the Lord after slipping for a few years, and I came back, I got baptized at 17. I was on fire for God. I was praying for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the first prayer I made was, Lord, I want to see people like you see them. And you know how God sees people? There is a lot of pain when you see people the way Jesus sees them. Because you begin to see them not for who they pretend to be, not for who they appear to be. You see behind the mask, at the suffering and the pain and the struggle and what everybody's going through. See, when we come here, we all have a nice face and a good mask. I don't mean to say that you're insincere. You come here sincere, but you come in public, and we don't see what you're struggling with and what you're dealing with deep inside your heart, deep inside your soul. Jesus sees. And if you begin to see people the way Jesus sees them, you get past all of their imperfections and whatever it is, whatever show it is that they're trying to put on to survive in this world, because all of us, brothers and sisters, are trying to survive in this world, and you begin to see them for who they are, and what they are is a sheep that is in need of a shepherd, someone who's lost, and it hurts. It hurts to see people like Jesus sees them. You can't go every day like that. It's not sustainable to wake up in the morning and to see people the way Jesus sees them. Because you begin to see beyond. You begin to see their sins. You begin to see their minds. You begin to see their hearts. Nobody here, I think, is very interested in that. Because we want some form of boundaries, right? We want to be able to detach ourselves from what everybody else is going through and living through. And withdraw in our own isolation, if we can. But when you begin to see the way the world, when you begin to see the world the way Jesus sees it, the world begins to change. You begin to change, and you start to act differently. You start to behave differently. Peter, on that day of Pentecost, became someone else when the Holy Spirit came over him. You remember the last time you saw Peter before Pentecost was he is betraying Jesus. He's running away. Jesus is asking him, "Do you love me?" There's still the uncertainty of Peter oscillating between two worlds, going back to being a fisherman or being a true follower of Christ. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter's mind is transformed. There is a new mind in Peter. And he comes out with the full power of God. It is that Peter that says, you know, silver and gold have I not. That's not the Peter that you see in the Gospels. This is a new Peter that has been radically transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you want this today for you? For your family, for your life? Do you want to have a new mind? A new mind to go forward with in this world? Something that attaches you to God directly so that you can think the way God thinks and the way Jesus thinks? I want us that to be our prayer as we come back to church. Put this thought in us, Jesus. Put your mind in us. Let us have a new mindset and go forth in boldness, not to conform. I'm not saying we should break the laws of the land and go out and riot. I'm saying that we too easily conform to the spirit of this world for the sake of getting along, for the sake of making it through the day. How many times have you made that compromise? Where you conformed to the way things are done at your job, where you conform to the way children are raised in this age, where you're conforming to the way church is being done. What if the way we do church is not the way God wants us to do church? Have you thought about that for a second? What if God says, I want to do something new in you? What if God says, get rid of this pulpit, get rid of your great, all the stuff that you have, the bells and whistles, and start from the rooms. Start from prayer. And see what I'm going to do there when we're all gathered together praying and asking, really truly asking God to pour down his spirit. I know it sounds radical. I know it sounds hard, maybe. But if you really say, Jesus, put my mind in you, what do you want? What do you want from Emmanuel Church? What do you want from me? What do you want from my family? What do you want me to do? What is your perfect will for my life? And he will speak to you. He will begin to speak with you, to your heart, to your mind. Some of the greatest experiences I've had with God was when he was speaking to me in that still small voice. I had to get rid of all of the voices in my head. Like Samuel, when he's being called by the Lord, he has to get rid of the voices in his head, the voice of his mother, Anna, the voice of Eli, other voices, so you can focus on the voice of God. Have we focused on the voice of God? And one experience that I will recall, because this is the day of Pentecost, and I think we should recall the wonders of the Holy Spirit. And when you go home today, what would be nice is if you share that with your wife and your husband and your children. How the Holy Spirit spoke to you, told you to do things. Everyone, I believe, in this room had an experience like that, where the Holy Spirit spoke to you personally. No, I don't mean the I had to call somebody to pray, and I had to enact the prayer warriors and activate the prayer warriors and everybody. No, to you personally, when Jesus spoke to you last, when you heard the voice of God in you, in your life, clear. All of those are wonderful, and it's great to call people to pray. But when did God speak to you personally? Remember that. I remember that I was praying one time with a group of people, and God showed me a vision of a van that was in an accident. And we started praying for this van. I just said at that point, I said, look, I saw this van in an accident. Let's pray. We were a group of young people on fire for God, praying for God. We just had a blank canvas. Just pray and see what God leads you to pray about. That's great. When you just start to pray, you don't have an agenda. You just pray and let the Spirit lead you, you know? And I saw this van. So everybody started praying for this van, and we were getting more clarity. The van was in Australia somewhere. We kept seeing the vision, and then we said, okay, the van's in Australia. Let's pray for this van in Australia. It's full of people. How many? There's six. No, there's seven. There's the driver. Let's pray for the driver. We kept praying for like about 2-3 hours as the Lord was giving us more and more pieces of information about this van in Australia full of seven people. We prayed until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. The following morning, we got a call. It was from Grupo Esperanza, and they had an accident, and they were in a van in Australia. The van flipped over at an intersection, and a group of kids in Phoenix, Arizona, was seeing it in prayer. It was interceding for every life in that van, and nobody was hurt. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power that God wants to give you and in your life. Are you ready for it? It's within reach, brothers and sisters. But God says, renew your mind. Let go of your old ways of thinking. Stop trying to conform with this world that maybe thinks it's uncool that if you speak in tongues. I mean, come on, who does that? That's weird stuff. Right? Who prophesies? Who Who lays their hands on sick people? I mean, come on, we have doctors for that. You don't need to lay your hands on sick people. But this is exactly the kind of thing that God uses to overturn the wisdom of this world. Because we are in need of miracles, brothers and sisters. We do need miracles in today's world. Look at what's happening out there. Are you saying we don't need miracles anymore? I think we need them now more than ever. But God is looking for people who have changed their minds, who are allowing themselves to be transformed with a new thinking, his thinking. The new thinking that I'm talking about is not some new theology or some new movement. I'm saying let's go back to the original biblical text. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's go back to the way things were. And when we do that, revival will come. You won't be able to stop it. You won't even see it coming. Because when it comes, it will sweep all over the church. And all it takes is a few people to say, I'm willing to go back to the way things were. And I'm willing to transform my mind and stop conforming to the mindset of this world. May the Lord help us all. Welcome back, Emmanuel Church. Welcome back to church. Welcome back to the new Emmanuel Church, which is a new way of thinking, a new way of moving forward. And get ready, because you haven't seen nothing yet. Amen.